government's in debt. My gosh, even the county government's in debt. Now it looks like, you know, grandma and grandpa are dying in debt now. Interesting story in thefiscaltimes.com. It's actually called Dying with Debt, the Hidden Financial Crisis. How are you doing this morning? Stephen Yoder from the Fiscal Times. How are you, Steve?
Just fine. Thanks, Dole. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Set the table here. Are we having a higher level of senior citizen debt than in past times or in what's considered normal? Maybe you could just tell us what's going on here.
Sure. We're certainly seeing more older people in debt than in the past. And so take credit card debt, for example. The proportion of older people who are carrying credit card debt has doubled since 1998. The fastest growing segment of people declaring bankruptcy are people age 65 and older. You've got, you know, even we don't normally think of older people carrying mortgage debt, but that figure has quadrupled since 1989. And maybe most surprisingly is student loan debt. We have more than 2 million people older than age 60 carrying student loans, and one in eight of those people are behind on their payments.
Okay, so what is the problem with this? And because obviously, I mean, if a senior citizen apparently wants to go back to school, that's fine. Or are they carrying the loans of their children? Maybe that's a better way or a better question to ask.
Yeah, you know, the study I looked at for didn't break that out. I guess that is a possibility on student loan debt. But I as I'm recalling the study, that is that's their own student. Those are their own student loans. And, you know, largely a lot of this debt seems to, proximate cost seems to be rising health care costs, actually, which are driving everything else. So, you know, you've got, long-term care costs, of course. I also looked at a study this spring that found that in the last 5 years of life, people are incurring, on average, $39,000 in unreimbursed medical costs that last 5 years. So, those are not costs, you know, covered by your health insurance or any other plan.
Or by Medicare.
Right.
So is a lot of this the higher cost then of nursing home or end of life care that we're seeing?
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of it. And there's another survey too of people who are experiencing cognitive challenges, showing that almost half of people with cognitive challenges are having trouble paying bills. One in five of those people cognitively challenged are reported draining their bank accounts in the survey that I reported on. So.
Well, Stephen, I'm going to tell you, I've experienced this personally because my father had Parkinson's and ended up spending the last 2-3 years of his life before passing in a long-term care deal. And what caught my eye about your article was that you're thinking, hey, if you think you're going to be inheriting anything from your parents, you might want to think again. Well, there was nothing left, after that. So not that I was looking forward to inheriting from my father, please understand.
But
is this something different from what we've normally expected or normally seen over tradition?
Yes. I mean, in the past, you know, the expectation has always been that parents are able to, you have at least a small inheritance coming, obviously there have always been people who have struggled, and you may not be able to count, you may have not been able to count on an inheritance. But this is something different, too. This is parents who are actually dying in debt. So this creates new challenges for children.
How does it create a challenge for the children? Because if a senior citizen dies in debt, or mom and dad die in debt, it doesn't go to the children, does it?
It does not necessarily. In most cases, that's true, Bill. But there are a couple of exceptions. You know, first obvious one is, you know, if you have co-signed a loan with your parent, let's say you were co-signing so you could help them get into a lower mortgage interest rate on a refi, or you were a joint credit card holder with them for some reason, you were helping them in the last years of life. You know, if they die and there's money owed, that you're 100% responsible for that as a child. Those are situations that, you know, if you're an executor on a will, for example, and your parent dies and that estate owes money to creditors, you as an executor have to be very careful to follow state law and who gets paid off first. Yeah.
I think you mentioned something in this article. By the way, Stephen Yoder is here with thefiscaltimes.com, and it's dying with debt. You were talking about in New York State how they will actually look back to see how property was transferred.
Yeah, that's right. And so, for example, if your parent has creditors that they owe money to, and in the last 6 years, let's say, so your parent owes money to creditors, and they know that, and then they subsequently gift you as a child money, and then they die. So they owe money to creditors, they gift you money, and then they die. The creditor then can come after you, the child, for that money. The same is true to some extent with IRS, actually to a greater extent with the IRS. If your parents owed back taxes, the IRS can come after you for money owed your parent owed.
So, Stephen, what's the best way to go about protecting yourself in a situation like this? I mean, first of all, I wouldn't co-sign, for one thing, if I could help it.
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, that's an obvious piece of advice. But, you know, the experts I talked to said, a few key things. One is, if you sense your parents getting into trouble financially, if they're getting behind, you know, this is obvious, but sit down with them and come up with a plan for having one of the children take a direct role in overseeing their finances to help them out. You know, so that's a big one. You know, another one people can consider is hiring the same accountant or financial advisor as your parent. So then you have somebody on the outside who's seeing the full picture. They know your finances and your parents' finances, and they can provide some, you know, an objective, somebody objective to look in from the outside. And then, you know, if your parents are in real trouble, look at credit counseling, you know, getting a credit counseling agency or like a debt settlement company involved to help, you know, help renegotiate some of this debt if they're in real trouble.
And just to be clear, Social Security income, which comes in, that's not attachable by creditors, from what I understand, correct?
Yes, Social Security income is exempt, as is life insurance, as is retirement, you know, retirement accounts. That's in the case of the spouse. For children, that's a different story. So if you're a child, I would not count on those sources. That's something to talk to your lawyer about. But if you're a spouse, that you do have more, you do have a right to those sources.
And certainly something to think about for yourself: long-term care insurance when you're young and it's relatively cheap. Think about picking that up, huh?
Absolutely. One of my estate planning lawyer I talked to said that was the number one problem, that was the number one issue creating financial problems for her clients, was lack of long-term care insurance. You know, going in a nursing home, you know, spending down their money, and so absolutely, long-term care is critical.
It's a great article and good advice in there, and you lay the problem out pretty well here, too. It's Dying with Debt, the Hidden Financial Crisis. You can read this on thefiscaltimes.com. Stephen Yoder, thanks for being on the show this morning. Good job.
Thanks so much, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Got to run here.
Okay, Bill. Thanks.
Back a little bit. All right.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.